No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 27th day of May. Welcome, everyone. So glad that you're here. So honored to be here. And here is the best place to be right now. Let's jump in. A lot to read today. Today we're reading 1 Chronicles chapters 26 through 29, and then we will jump over to Psalm and read Psalm 127. This week we are reading the New English Translation. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. The divisions of the gatekeepers from the Korahites: Meshelemiah, son of Kor, one of the sons of Asaph. Meshelemiah's sons: the firstborn Zechariah, the second Jediel, the third Zebadiah, the fourth Jathniel, the fifth Elam, the sixth Jehohanan, and the seventh Elohenai. Obed-Edom's sons: the firstborn Shemaiah, the second Jehozabad, the third Joah, the fourth Sakar, the fifth Nathanael, the sixth Emiel, the seventh Issachar, and the eighth Pulathai. Indeed, God blessed Obed-Edom. His son Shemaiah also had two sons, who were leaders of their families, for they were highly respected. The sons of Shemaiah: Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad. His relative, Elihu and Semachiah, were also respected. All these were the descendants of Obed-Edom. They and their sons and relatives were respected men, capable of doing their responsibilities. There were 62 of them related to Obed-Edom. Meshelemiah had sons and relatives who were respected, 18 in all. Hosa, one of the descendants of Merari, had sons. The firstborn Shimri — he was not actually the firstborn, but his father gave him that status — the second Hilkiah, the third Tebaliah, and the fourth Zechariah. All Hosa's sons and relatives numbered 13. These divisions of the gatekeepers, corresponding to their leaders, had assigned responsibilities like their relatives as they served in the Lord's temple. They cast lots, both young and old, according to their families, to determine which gate they would be responsible for. The lot for the east gate went to Shelemiah. Then they cast lots for his son Zechariah, a wise advisor, and the lot for the north gate went to him. Obed-Edom was assigned the south gate, and his sons were assigned the storehouses. Shupim and Hosa were assigned the west gate, along with the Shalaketh gate on the upper road. One guard was adjacent to another. Each day there were 6 Levites posted on the east, 4 on the north, and 4 on the south. At the storehouses they were posted in pairs. At the court on the west, there were 4 posted on the road and 2 at the court. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers, who were descendants of Korah and Merari. Their fellow Levites were in charge of the storehouses in God's temple, and the storehouses containing consecrated items. The descendants of Laden, who were descended from Gershon through Laden and were leaders of the families of Laden the Gershonite, included Jehieli and the sons of Jehieli, Zetham and his brother Joel. They were in charge of the storehouses in the Lord's temple. As for the Amramites, Izharites, Hebronites, and Uzielites, Shebuel, son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was the supervisor of the storehouses. His relatives, through Eliezer, included Rehabiah his son, Jeshaiah his son, Joram his son, Zichri his son, and Shelemith his son. Shelemith and his relatives were in charge of all the storehouses containing the consecrated items dedicated by King David, the family leaders who led units of 1,000 and 100, and the army officers. They had dedicated some of the plunder taken in battles to be used for repairs on the Lord's temple. They were also in charge of everything dedicated by Samuel the prophet, Saul son of Kish, Abner son of Ner, and Joab son of Zeruiah. Shelomith and his relatives were in charge of everything that had been dedicated. As for the Izharites, Kenaniah and his sons were given responsibilities outside the temple as officers and judges over Israel. As for the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his relatives, 1,700 respected men, were assigned responsibilities in Israel west of the Jordan. They did the Lord's work and the king's service. As for the Hebronites, Jeriah was the leader of the Hebronites according to the genealogical records. In the 40th year of David's reign, they examined the records and discovered there were highly respected men in Jazer and Gilead. Jeriah had 2,700 relatives who were respected family leaders. King David placed them in charge of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They took care of all matters pertaining to God and the king. What follows is a list of Israelite family leaders and commanders of units of 1,000 and 100, as well as their officers who served the king in various matters. Each division was assigned to serve for 1 month during the year. Each consisted of 24,000 troops. Jashobeam, son of Zabdiel, was in charge of the first division, which was assigned the first month. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. He was a descendant of Perez. He was in charge of all the army officers for the first month. Dodai, the Ahohite, was in charge of the division assigned the second month. Mikloth was the next in rank. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The third army commander assigned the third month was Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, the priest. He was the leader of his division, which consisted of 24,000 troops. Benaiah was the leader of the 30 warriors in his division. His son was Amizabad. The fourth assigned the fourth month was Asahel, brother of Joab. His son Zebadiah succeeded him. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The fifth assigned the fifth month was the commander Shamoth, the Izrahite. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The sixth assigned the sixth month was Ira, son of Akesh, the Tekoite. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The seventh assigned the seventh month was Helez, the Pelonite, an Ephraimite. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The eighth assigned the eighth month was Sebekai, the Hushathite, a Zerahite. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The ninth assigned the ninth month was Abizer, the Anathothite, a Benjaminite. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The tenth assigned the tenth month was Maharei, the Netephathite, a Zerahite. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The 11th assigned the 11th month was Benaiah, the Pirathonite, an Ephraimite. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The 12th assigned the 12th month was Heldai, the Netephathite, a descendant of Othniel. His division consisted of 24,000 troops. The officers of the Israelite tribes. Eleazar, son of Zichri, was the leader of the Reubenites. Shephatiah, son of Maacah, led the Simeonites. Hashabiah, son of Kemuel, led the Levites. Zadok led the descendants of Aaron. Elihu, a brother of David, led Judah. Omri, son of Michael, led Issachar. Ishmaiah, son of Obadiah, led Zebulun. Jeremoth, son of Ezreel, led Naphtali. Hoshea, son of Azaziah, led the Ephraimites. Joel, son of Pedaiah, led the half-tribe of Manasseh. Ido, son of Zechariah, led the half-tribe of Manasseh in Gilead. Jaasiel, son of Abner, led Benjamin. Azarel, son of Jeroham, led Dan. These were the commanders of the Israelite tribes. David did not count the males 20 years old and under, for the Lord had promised to make Israel as numerous as the stars in the sky. Joab, son of Zeruiah, started to count the men but did not finish. God was angry with Israel because of this, so the number was not recorded in the scroll called the Annals of King David. Asmaveth, son of Adiel, was in charge of the king's storehouses. Jonathan, son of Uzziah, was in charge of the storehouses in the field, in the cities, in the towns, and in the towers. Izri, son of Kalub, was in charge of the field workers who farmed the land. Shimei, the Ramathite, was in charge of the vineyards. Zabdi, the Shipmite, was in charge of the wine stored in the vineyards. Baal-Hanan, the Gederite, was in charge of the olive and sycamore trees in the foothills. Joash was in charge of the storehouses of olive oil. Shitrei, the Sharonite, was in charge of the cattle grazing in Sharon. Shaphat, son of Adlai, was in charge of the cattle in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, was in charge of the camels. Jediah, the Maronathite, was in charge of the donkeys. Jazes, the Hegrite, was in charge of the sheep. All these were the officials in charge of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a wise advisor and scribe. Jehiel, son of Hakmonai, cared for the king's sons. Ahithophel was the king's advisor. Hushai, the Archite, was the king's confidant. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and by Abiathar. Joab was the commanding general of the king's army. David assembled in Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, including the commanders of the tribes, the commanders of the army divisions that served the king, the commanders of units of 1,000 and 100, the officials who were in charge of all the property and livestock of the king and his sons, the eunuchs, and the warriors, including the most skilled of them. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I wanted to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's covenant could be placed as a footstool for our God. I have made the preparations for building it, but God said to me, 'You must not build a temple to honor me, for you are a warrior and have spilled blood. The Lord God of Israel chose me out of my father's entire family to become king over Israel and have a permanent dynasty. Indeed, he chose Judah as leader and my father's family within Judah, and then he picked me out from among my father's sons and made me king over all Israel. From all the many sons the Lord has given me, he chose Solomon, my son, to rule on his behalf over Israel. He said to me, "Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my temple and my courts, for I have chosen him to become my son, and I will become his father. I will establish his kingdom permanently if he remains committed to obeying my commands and regulations as you are doing this day. So now, in the sight of all Israel, the Lord's assembly, and in the hearing of our God, I say this: carefully observe all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may possess this good land and may leave it as a permanent inheritance for your children after you. And you, Solomon, my son, obey the God of your father and serve him with a submissive attitude and a willing spirit. For the Lord examines all minds and understands every motive of one's thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him, but if you abandon him, he will reject you permanently. Realize now that the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and do it." David gave to his son Solomon the blueprints for the temple porch, its buildings, its treasuries, its upper areas, its inner rooms, and the room for atonement. He gave him the blueprints of all he envisioned for the courts of the Lord's temple and the surrounding rooms, the storehouses of God's temple, and the storehouses for the holy items. He gave him the regulations for the divisions of priests and Levites for all the assigned responsibilities within the Lord's temple and for all the items used in the service of the Lord's temple. He gave him the prescribed weight for all the gold items to be used in various types of service in the Lord's temple, for all the silver items to be used in various types of service, for the gold lampstands and their gold lamps, including the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, for the silver lampstands, including the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, according to the prescribed use of each lampstand, for the gold used in the display tables, including the amount to be used in each table, for the silver to be used in the silver tables, for the pure gold used for the meat forks, bowls, and jars, for the small gold bowls, including the weight for each bowl, for the small silver bowls, including the weight for each bowl, and for the refined gold of the incense altar. He gave him the blueprint for the seat of the gold cherubim that spread their wings and provide shelter for the Ark of the Lord's covenant. David said, "All this I put in writing as the Lord directed me and gave me insight regarding the details of the blueprints." David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and brave. Do it. Don't be afraid and don't panic. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not leave you or abandon you before all the work for the service of the Lord's temple is finished. Here are the divisions of the priests and Levites who will perform all the service of God's temple. All the willing and skilled men are ready to assist you in all the work and perform their service. The officials and all the people are ready to follow your instructions." King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is just an inexperienced young man, and the task is great, for this palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. So I have made every effort to provide what is needed for the temple of my God, including the gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, as well as a large amount of onyx, settings of antimony, and other stones, all kinds of precious stones, and alabaster. Now, to show my commitment to the temple of my God, I donate my personal treasure of gold and silver to the temple of my God, in addition to all that I have already supplied for this holy temple. This includes 3,000 talents of gold from Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the buildings, for gold and silver items, and for all the work of the craftsmen. Who else wants to contribute to the Lord today? The leaders of the families, the leaders of the Israelite tribes, the commanders of units of 1,100, and the supervisors of the king's work contributed willingly. They donated for the service of God's temple 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 10,000 talents of iron. All who possessed precious stones donated them to the treasury of the Lord's temple, which was under the supervision of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people were delighted with their donations, for they contributed to the Lord with a willing attitude. King David was also very happy. David praised the Lord before the entire assembly. "O Lord, God of our father Israel, you deserve praise forevermore. O Lord, you are great, mighty, majestic, magnificent, glorious, and sovereign over all the sky and earth. You, Lord, have dominion and exalt yourself as the ruler of all. You are the source of wealth and honor. You rule over all. You possess strength and might to magnify and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your majestic name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be in a position to contribute this much? Indeed, everything comes from you, and we have simply given back to you what is yours. For we are resident foreigners and temporary settlers in your presence, as all our ancestors were. Our days are like a shadow on the earth, without security. O Lord our God, all this wealth which we have collected to build a temple for you to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine thoughts and are pleased with integrity. With pure motives, I contribute all this, and now I look with joy as your people who have gathered here contribute to you. O Lord God of our ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, always maintain these motives of your people and keep them devoted to you. Make my son Solomon willing to obey your commands, rules, and regulations, and to complete building the palace for which I have made preparations." David told the entire assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So the entire assembly praised the Lord God of their ancestors. They bowed down and stretched out flat on the ground before the Lord and the king. The next day they made sacrifices and offered burnt sacrifices to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, along with their accompanying drink offerings and many other sacrifices for all Israel. They held a feast before the Lord that day and celebrated. Then they designated Solomon, David's son, as king a second time. Before the Lord, they anointed him as ruler and Zadok as priest. Solomon sat on the Lord's throne as king in place of his father David. He was successful and all Israel was loyal to him. All the officers and warriors, as well as all of King David's sons, pledged their allegiance to King Solomon. The Lord greatly magnified Solomon before all Israel and bestowed on him greater majesty than any king of Israel before him. David, son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. He reigned over Israel 40 years. He reigned in Hebron 7 years and in Jerusalem 33 years. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. His son Solomon succeeded him. King David's accomplishments from start to finish are recorded in the annals of Samuel the prophet, the annals of Nathan the prophet, and the annals of Gad the prophet. Recorded there are all the facts about his reign and accomplishments, and an account of the events that involved him, Israel, and all the neighboring kingdoms. Finally today, Psalm 127. If the Lord does not build a house, then those who build it work in vain. If the Lord does not guard a city, then the watchman stands guard in vain. It is vain for you to rise early, come home late, and work so hard for your food. Yes, he provides for those whom he loves even when they sleep. Yes, sons are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Sons born during one's youth are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. They will not be put to shame when they confront enemies at the city gate. Today we come to the end of David's reign and some final preparations that he makes before the end of that reign. The biggest one with commissioning his son Solomon to build the temple of God. But prior to that, he appoints leaders, delegates, leaders, and committees. And then we see just a really beautiful thing that we should pay attention to. David praises the Lord before the entire assembly. What we should remember is that David is a man after the heart of God. He does not bow the knee to opinion or to people, especially in the same way that King Saul did. Yesterday we read about God knowing the motive of our heart, knowing where we are. There's nowhere we can go to escape God. And if God knows the motive of our heart, he knows when our heart is sincere to worship him. This is what we see David do. Praises the Lord before the entire assembly. And what is really beautiful and moving here is David tells the entire assembly, praise the Lord your God. So the entire assembly praised the Lord God of their ancestors. They bowed down and stretched out flat on the ground before the Lord and the King. I have no judgment to people and how they choose to praise God, how we express adoration to God. But what I find so simple and so beautiful is that they chose a posture of humility. To bow down flat on the ground to worship God. There's not a display of performance, but a posture of the heart is reflected in the posture that they took physically. We can build things, we can dedicate them to the Lord. And again, I'm not here to judge how people do that, but what I'm here to do is to challenge the motive of our heart. Are we proudly displaying our works for people to see, to get praise, to get credit, to get validation? Or can we examine our own heart? Can we offer God the same sacrifice, the same worship that David did today? By pausing, by stopping, by intentionally giving praise where praise is due. And that is to Almighty God. God, we thank you for everything that we have. We thank you for everything that we don't have. We thank you for that which you've withheld from us. But I thank you for the things that we have done, that you have called us to do. But may we also have the sincerity, the intentionality that David does. That we would pause and give you thanks. We would give you praise. We would give you adoration for all that you've done and all that you have not done, because you know us and you know best for us. We give you thanks and praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the app 2.0. Check it out. Lots for you to see and do there. Some new things. We kind of talk about the different new things so that you're aware, even though the app is pretty self-explanatory and very easy friendly to maneuver. Check out the testimonials. See your fellow dabbers. And you can record a video. You can share a little testimony of how you found the Daily Audio Bible, how the Bible's transformed your life, and share that with the community as well. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. Boy, we are so grateful that we do not have to. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you are giving by the app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand corner, and lastly look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. The number for chronological, 800-583-2164, or again utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top right hand section. When you are finished, hit the red microphone, and then right below that, hit chronological, the one on the right, and that will get you to the right place. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. I love you all. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. Until then, love one another.
Hello, DABC family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. I don't remember your name, but I know you called in and said that James and Sydney were carrying your grandbaby Lydia with a birth defect. It sounded serious by the tone in your voice, so I'm lifting up baby Lydia to you right now. I'm praying for wisdom for her medical team, for strength for James and Sydney, especially during the nights when your mind starts to wander. I pray that the Lord would provide them with scripture and comfort and peace, and that people would come around them to support them during this time. I have a granddaughter named Lydia also. And so, having worked in this field, I know these emotions and have experienced some difficulties with my children also in pregnancies. And there was another one, Amy in Cleveland. You said that Anthony and Kayla had a high-risk pregnancy at 20 weeks, was possibly deemed non-viable, but now here we are at 37 weeks, praise the Lord. And I'm praying for this pregnancy to continue healthy, that the Lord would touch all of the structures that He created and nourish this baby for the final stretch in Jesus' name. And to both families, I would always tell parents, when physicians say your baby will never and fill in the blank, I never liked that because physicians were almost always wrong in this. So, and here we have a potential example. So I will be lifting both of these up. I'd like to hear the outcome. So thank you for sharing. Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. I love you.
DABC family, this is Edie Marie from Northeast Ohio. I have some updates. Yesterday, I got to spend time with Cameron and his brother Jalen while his parents went and picked up their marriage license. They are getting married tomorrow. They're doing it at Scott, the grandfather's house. because Scott is not well enough to leave the house, and they wanted to get married before he passes away. So everyone is very excited, and I am praying for boldness, appropriate boldness, as I am around everybody, and, you know, because Scott is had walked away from the faith. On Monday, they have to go back to Cincinnati. Cameron needs another bone marrow biopsy because the last one was too far away from the transplant because of the clinical trial. On the 4th, Cameron has to go in to Akron for a central line. The 8th, he goes in inpatient for the preparation for the transplant, and the 17th is the actual bone marrow stem cell transplant day. So you've got all of those days to keep in prayer. Thank you so much. Please also pray for Ray and Jess as they get married, and for peace and real information. Jess is overwhelmed with worry of all the things that could happen to her son. Thank you very much. I love you, family.
Good morning. This is Kathleen from Colorado. I'm calling in with a praise report, but also a request for prayer. Back in October, I asked you to pray for my two sons, Jacob and Samuel, to get jobs. Samuel has found a very good job and is beginning his professional career, and he started his job last week and seems to be enjoying it. Our oldest son, Jacob, turns 26 on the 26th and has done nothing basically with his life since he graduated from high school but make bad choices and choose pot and other things. He needs to find his way, figure out what he wants to do with his life. So I'm asking you to keep actually both our sons in your prayers, because they're going to have to get out on their own as my husband and I will be moving later in this year. So please, especially keep Jacob in your prayers that he finds his way and figures out what he wants to do with his life and becomes successful at whatever he chooses, and keep Sam in your prayers. He is a good, faithful Christian, and just please pray for my two sons, Jacob and Samuel. Thank you.